The following program is an abridged audio version of the streaming video talk show, A Wonderful Chaos. The hosts are Andy Chaliff and Bambos Dimitriou. The format is entirely casual, unscripted conversation. If you'd like to watch a live taping or participate with your comments in real time, subscribe to A Wonderful Chaos on YouTube, Facebook, Periscope, or Twitch.
Whatever you see as the positive always first started because someone didn't want the negative. Like, I didn't want to get fat was the first feeling you had. And the second feeling is, I want to be fit. So the avoidance of the pain would be, I don't want to be fat. And the seeking of this pleasure would be, I want to be fit.
It's a wonderful chaos. Beautifully random. Messy and glorious.
Solo or tandem.
We work to find rest. We fight to find peace. Both head and the heart.
Show
where the more that you learn is the less that you know, where the Buddha are healers
and the atheists pray.
It's a wonderful chaos and we like it that way. It's a wonderful chaos and we like it that way. It's a wonderful chaos and we like it that way.
Yes, Bambos,
happy days, Andy.
Just you and me now.
I'm giving my straight face again. I'm role playing.
Okay, good. It's a lot of tears this session. I planned this session because I thought it's time for you to cry. You didn't cry much last week, and I thought this is one of these moments we need to
bring up the ratings.
Just bring the ratings back up. We need a few more hundred people watching. Today we're going to talk a topic that I really enjoy. It's a topic, if there's 10 things that I think when I'm coaching someone, I want them to understand really well in themselves, heighten their consciousness around, it's the moment when they're distinguishing between avoiding something that they don't want and working towards something that they want. And being in one mode of your brain or the other highly affects how you process, how you experience it, and how you live it. So we're going to discuss that on A Wonderful Chaos.
Me and Andy, we talked about avoiding versus seeking, how it shows up in my life, and he actually blew my mind this morning. Yeah, like my question was, tell me more about this abundance mentality, like that state of mind.
So let's get the context for those who just joining us. What was the, so abundance was a topic that we had last week, or was it a topic you've been listening to on your podcast? Like, where did abundance come in?
You and me have been talking about how I can create more abundance.
Oh, yeah.
Life, right?
Yeah, your state of mind, actually. Yeah.
You pretty much told me you're avoiding in your life.
Ah, yeah.
And when you said that and it landed in me, I'm like, where is that true in my life? Like, my logic mind says, no, I'm not. Like, I'm doing the podcast every day. I fucking hate them. I hate sitting here. But I show up every day.
Yeah.
But you actually took it to another space. Really subtle.
And so what was that? Explain it to people who might not have.
Avoiding in a way to receive finances. Like in a way that like my brain will go, oh, I just want to make this much.
Yeah.
Instead of like really shooting into a vision of what I want in life.
Yeah. And you'll notice, I've noticed sometimes for people that have watched prior episodes, I'll ask some guests who are good facilitators to sort of support you in ways I haven't necessarily been able to. So Peter Koenig came on, of course, last week and did his money work.
Yeah.
And when Peter was asking you, so what's your ideal financial scenario? And then I kind of humorously kind of laugh because when I see you, in the back of my mind, I'm saying, okay, let's see how he deals with this, right? Like, that's what I'm thinking to myself. And what Peter was running into is a similar quality, was like, well, it's kind of like, it can graduate up. It's like, oh, I want enough to survive the year. You know, I mean, you wouldn't necessarily, but that's the state of mind. I want enough to be comfortable enough that I can maybe take a trip. So the visioning is always avoiding the pain of getting thrown out of your house, being homeless. Like, it's so in a weird way, although you didn't necessarily see it. And he and I have a similar challenge when I speak for myself, but I thought it this is true for him. When confronted with someone who doesn't connect to what their real desire is, their deeper desire, it means they're actually just trying to keep the bad stuff away. So when I put in avoid via seek, I put that in way before we even had the talk. You know, this was 3 months ago.
I'm aware of that.
And I put this in because this is the topic, like I mentioned earlier in the show, where I notice if someone, and by the way, let's also get one thing clear. I'm an avoider. Like, and that's the irony or this absurdity is that from the outside, one would say, wow, it looks like you're like not avoiding.
Can I pull you into the screen?
One would say it doesn't look like you're avoiding because you do stuff and you're active. But what I see is that I always am fearful. So when we do the show, you know, I think, okay, I'm really happy it goes as far as it can go, but I'm a bit anxious because if it gets a little bit bigger, then I'm going to get the trolls. And the trolls are going to basically say, hey, you're a jerk, you're stupid, you're not intelligent. And then in one level, I don't care, right? I don't care what they say. But on another level, I feel like, okay, but I'm also building something and I need to take responsibility for the other people that are also listening. So I'm thinking, what am I bringing into my life? So that is the avoidance of pain side of my thinking, which would slow us down from growing. Because if I don't have that, then I'm continually pushing the limits, finding new ways to grow, getting into new segments of people who would be interested. So what I see is the limiting belief, in my case, in this instance, would be that the more we grow, the more that we'll be attacked. That's the is the thing that would stop us potentially from growing bigger than we are, because that is lingering in the back of my head.
That really surprises me, actually, because if we get trolls, it means we're onto something.
I would think so, and we'd enjoy it as well. But remember, it isn't the reality, it's the projection of something that's subconscious. So even if when the reality shows up, it may not be a problem, right? I mean, I think it's kind of funny when somebody writes something like, oh, you guys are idiots or something on the comments, which we've had one or two times, I usually comment back, good point. You know? So, I mean, there's nothing to defend. There's no war to win. There's nothing. But what it doesn't take away from is that in the back of my head, follow me here, right? There's the 10-year-old Andy who was yelled at by his dad.
Yeah.
And that 10-year-old Andy never goes away. I say never. It's the, you know.
He's there.
It's an absolute, but that's not, it is what it is. But that 10-year-old Andy is there. So he'll come up and I'll hear him in my head. And that's what I'm speaking to. So even if I'm free and able, it doesn't mean that kid isn't also in there somewhere, sometimes jumping up in anxiety. So, so getting back to this point, when I look at like a really good entrepreneur or a leader, which is our next week's episode is on leading and management, which kind of dovetails with this one. So I don't know how much we'll bring in, right? Is that those two for me, I just saw a comment come in from a common friend. And he says, yes, trolls, as are a reality, costed me my sleep last night. Yes, that's it. So how do you, in this case to Raul, how do you sort of make peace with the fact that these people are out there who have nothing better to do than try to make your life miserable? But sorry, I have to get back to my
original
point.
That's a coaching session.
Yeah. So that's it. So there's a little kid in there that's always around, and he'll sort of slow me down because he doesn't know what liability comes with a certain decision. You make a decision, you know, I'm doing massive decisions now. I mean, having the podcast, because we're doing this as a broadcast, but that's being put on a podcast platform. That podcast platform is now going to be broadcasting to, say, 7 or 8 different directories. So the people that are going to touch us and get in contact with us, they don't know us. They come in on an episode and then they, you know, who knows?
They might find the moment of me crying.
Yeah, exactly.
And you being a bit of an ass.
Exactly. And they're going to say, what is this all about, right? But the point being is that the mentality behind it is one of, I am living my flow, enjoyment, and pleasure, and or I'm avoiding the pain. And I think what's interesting is that people often don't recognize when people are very expansive and apparently developing and growing, they think that they're in this sort of the expansive energy when actually it's about avoiding the pain. Example being, when I was kicked out of the house by my dad and disowned, then I was fear. I was all fear.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to fail. I didn't want to, you know, obviously become homeless. So I immediately became very active to get a job and get focused. So one might look at me from the outside and say, wow, he's really
seeking.
But in actuality, it was a reaction to the negative of the fear of being homeless. And then you create it and you get a story and then it becomes its own thing. But the undercurrent of making peace with the original fear never occurred for me until I woke up, you know, 10 years later and realized I didn't like the person I saw. That's the discovery we make when we see we were driven by fear and not by this passion and joy and love. And that's when I quit, sold everything I owned and moved to Amsterdam.
Now, when you use the word passion.
Yeah.
And like for me, fear goes hand in hand with putting yourself out there.
I know that I've seen that in you. You don't realize that that's unique, or you maybe do realize it's unique. You see, my experience of you, right, is you see fear as the thing to go into.
Yeah.
And what I don't want to say is that's good nor bad. What I'm always saying is there's an identity of Bambos that I don't see that you're necessarily in touch with, who keeps telling Bambos, that's a really good thing to do. That's a really good thing to do. Like you attach to that identity. That's my supposition.
Yeah.
And by attaching the identity, maybe there's something better that you could be doing, but you would never see that because you're so attached to the idea that I need to go into my whatever my greatest pain is. You know, like you decided to study the Dutch.
Yeah.
I mean, we live in the Netherlands. I don't know the last time I heard a Dutch person speak Dutch. I mean, everyone here speaks English. You decided, hey, I know you did it for real reasons, right? You're like, I'm not feeling good, comfortable, whatever we discussed a little bit before.
Avoiding.
Yeah.
I have been avoiding.
Yeah. And yet.
And every time someone asks me about, like, how long have you been living here? I'm like 23 years.
Yeah.
There's a kind of shame there.
Yeah.
And my answer is always like, you know, I just know enough to get by. But like it really.
So what was the identifiable part that you see in yourself that didn't say, hey, who gives a shit? I don't speak Dutch. No one here speaks Dutch anyways. Like what stops you from embracing that?
Because I know behind that, there's a huge fear of me learning because there's a deep belief that I'm stupid.
Exactly. Yeah.
Now that I'm learning Dutch every day, I've seen that story of me being stupid is actually not true.
Obviously, it's not true. But
yeah, but I had to go through the experience.
Okay, well, okay, you had to go through experience, but I'm going to give you a wholly different experience.
Yeah.
Okay, imagine if you're now confronted with the same emotion and you just say, you know what? I am stupid. Apparently, I'm stupid. Like you fully allow that identifiable thing you might resist in yourself.
Just give me a second. Oh. I am stupid.
like imagine if someone on the street says to you, hey, Bambos, do you study Dutch? And you say, hey, I don't know if I'm smart enough to learn Dutch, actually. Like I've got too many other things in my head at the moment. I did drugs for too long.
And my mentor said you have to learn SEO now.
Yeah. And you got Raul on. He'll teach you search engine optimization.
I think that I was going to kill me because I'm stupid.
Yeah. Well, maybe it could be. So you have double thing. But then you just say to him, hey, listen, I'm just stupid. You see, but my point being is that you don't say I'm stupid. It's another identity. Let's also get that clear. Okay.
But I experienced the lightness.
I know. You don't say it to reaffirm another identity. You see, oh, I don't need to defend against it. I don't need to try to study Netherlands, Dutch for, you know, I can't find any work, but I'm studying Dutch, you know, like where are your priorities? I know you're also finding work, but you know what I mean? I'd rather we sit together and you say, hey, Andy, this is what I'm looking, this is what my life's looking like. What do you think makes sense at the moment? Like that would be a more potentially holistic way of looking at your life.
I'll see you tomorrow morning.
Yeah. We'll see that. So yeah, that's a, and if I look at like an entrepreneur or a leader, good leaders to a large degree live in alternate reality. Like they see a vision way ahead and then they kind of have these people around them who are uncomfortable, scared. They trust or believe them even if they don't even know if it's true. It's kind of like a religion. If you're a good leader, you kind of create your own little religion that people believe.
I believe God made me in one day.
Yeah. Yeah. What was that from?
Bill Hicks.
Oh.
And then Bill Hicks says, it looks like he rushed it.
No, I don't. Oh, yeah. I was going to say, if it isn't from Monty Python, I had another reference.
Oh, he's a comedian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in that way, you see people who are very, very expansive in their energy because the energy will often come from not only – there's two sides to it. There's always a case my mentor would always say, hey, Andy, whatever you see as the positive always first started because someone didn't want the negative. But they don't see that anymore. Like I didn't want to get fat was the first feeling you had. And the second feeling is I want to be fit. So the avoidance of the pain would be, I don't want to be fat. And the seeking of this pleasure would be, I want to be fit.
Yeah.
So it's not one or the other, obviously. But what one can see is, like, I see it in this the archetype of the perfectionist. So the perfectionist didn't get approval from the parent. Mom or dad said, that's good, but you could have done better. Hmm. It's good, but you could have done better. So now, to avoid pain, which is the sadness of not being approved, you work your ass off. And you work and work and work trying to seek the approval over and over again of whoever is in front of you, mm-hmm. whoever you're delivering a service to. And when that person doesn't give it to you, you feel empty, not complete, anxious, and so on. So that's the point I'm pointing towards is that if you're not conscious of the avoiding pain that's going on in your system, you get a heart attack because you run so fast, you don't even know you're running to avoid that pain. Mm. And the same person could do the same thing, but the intention and the energy behind it could be totally different. So, yeah. And when I see you, I've often seen you. One would project, I believe, onto you that you're seeking pleasure all the time, and I've projected more onto you that you avoid pain.
When you say it like that, I agree, because like the fear in my life is a constant. I don't actually remember a day where I didn't feel scared. Mm. Like, that's when I sent you the message this morning to thank you. Like, tuning into that, I'm constantly scared.
Wow.
I was scared of getting up really early, of not sleeping enough, of being in the cold, of jumping in the canals. I was scared of learning Dutch. So that fear really contracted me. I was scared of working out.
To get COVID or what?
No. When we started doing the gym, I had an injury in my left shoulder. Yeah. I had to do one push-up.
Okay.
So I was scared of maybe injuring myself. Uh-huh. So there was all these mental beliefs in my mind, which told me why I shouldn't do all the things that I've been doing. And the fact that I'm doing all these things, it doesn't take away the fear. The only difference is I'm not numbing the fear. It's there. Like I come home after a morning and it's, okay, what's next?
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen you live almost, I would call it sort of, it feels like a life of overwhelm.
I prefer intense.
Endless dread. Solve one thing and there's 20 more things happening.
Yeah, fuck.
Yeah.
So yeah. We're pretty much saying that please don't do what I do, guys.
Well, let's also be clear. I don't want you to throw what you do out too quickly.
I won't, but
no, but I mean also the embrace of why you do it. Because if you don't embrace that you're doing it for good reason, then you also aren't you're just going to avoid another thing in your life. So what makes that you live this way?
My mind.
Yeah, but there's reasons for it. What are the reasons? Of course, it's all in your mind. What is the reason that you've chosen to see everything that you resist as an opportunity to do?
Breaking patterns.
Okay. And what's the idea you have about breaking patterns?
I'm not sure I understand your question.
Okay, so if I say breaking patterns,
yeah,
then that means I implicitly am saying there's a good thing to break patterns.
Oh, so this morning I went to buy avocados.
Okay.
And I ended up in the aisle where the potato chips are.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I'm looking at them, they're looking at me, and I'm like, guys, do you want to come home with me? And I had to take a deep breath. Like, Andy, I was reaching for them and I took a deep breath and I'm like, go home. Like, there's something here that you want to avoid. I go home and it's just this discomfort. I couldn't place a story. So I went and sat in the ice bath, and that really brought me back into my skin. Like, there's this, I tend to say that I don't suppress pain.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'll see that whenever I reach for things, I want to watch a movie, I want to watch YouTube, I want to do this and that, I stop myself. So I'm constantly feeling it. And sometimes they overwhelm. So instead of suppressing it with a bad habit, mm-hmm. then I'd rather jump in the ice bath as an example.
Yeah. I think, I swear to you, I'm not medically certified to make any of these statements, but I'm going to make them anyways.
Make it.
I believe that because of your years of drug addiction,
yeah,
you built a framework which allows you to feel like you can manage your life, that you've got certain rules and principles that guide you,
yeah,
and they make sure you don't fall astray. That's the story I have around your what I've at least recognized in your behavior through the years.
I'm going to let that sit.
And I don't want to say for any moment of time that it isn't a good thing. I don't even want you to think for a second that it should be different. I just want us to
heighten awareness
and celebrate that there's a high likelihood that to break an old pattern that was a long drawn out pattern with a lot of suicide attempts between the start and the end of it, that you're like, I need to figure out how to live my life, and it can't be that way. And I don't know any other way to change a life other than setting a whole new pattern and sticking to it. Mm. And so my feeling in looking at your life is that that has defined your life till now.
Mm.
Right? And it's not a big surprise, actually. It's not.
We should do a talk on fear. Because everything you say, I just bring it back to fear.
Okay, what do you say? Why I don't see the connection yet?
Oh, just the whole structure that I have, or rituals, or whatever you want to call it, is always triggered by fear. Like, the foundation is I'm scared, and I'm going to jump into it.
Yeah. Yeah, and I would say the way I would do it in my own life, I think you already know, is I try to heighten the consciousness around the fear. I kind of love it a bit, smile, have a bit of a laugh, share it openly because there's no attachment to it, negative or positive. And then it just becomes like anything else, just like another child in my mind that needs a little bit of love.
Like, sometimes I'll be in the physical pain, yeah, and I'm sitting there in the pain and I'm like, what would Andy do? And I'm like, let's find the joy in this, because you're feeling so much aliveness right now. You're having access to your body. So I started talking to myself this morning and I was like, this is fucking crazy.
Yeah. Do you see that? How did that feel to do that?
It made me endure more.
Endure more?
Yeah.
Because you were fighting yourself or what?
No, I could sit in whatever discomfort I was longer.
Yeah.
Without waiting for it to be over. Like normally I time it.
Like you would say, when like my mom died, I was emotionally shut down. I was young. And for her, like the homily at her funeral, I couldn't write anything. I did write something, but I was writing it from this very logical, you are forgiven, she was a beautiful woman. You know, I did everything almost not embodied, but just saying the things that felt right to say because I couldn't access the emotion. It was too painful. And then when my dad died, and I was, of course, in my 30s then, I had a wholly different access to the emotion and then the words that would accompany that. So, I mean, when I read it, I just cried when I was reading it, and I wouldn't have allowed myself at the younger age to write words that would have compelled me to cry. Mm. And the reason why I'm stating this now, and I'm trying to connect it back to where we started, was I don't even remember, something about how we feel into what's going inside of us, and we let that guide us. So when you say, Andy, sometimes you'll say it in my writing, right? We'll talk about how I write.
Yeah.
I write from the pain. I don't write from this is the way it should be written, although it might sound that way from someone else.
You mean everything that you do or just the book?
No. Like if you say, Andy, do me a favor. I have a client that screwed me, right? You might say that to me, right?
Yeah.
Once or twice. And then you'll say, and I don't know how to write to them. So – and then you'll speak in frustration and agitation, wanting to justify yourself.
Yeah.
And you'll see me, like, I'll allow the helplessness. So I'll be immediately in the helpless state of mind, which means that I can't blame. I can't defend. I can only be present with the feeling and then allow that to allow us possibly to get closer.
And it always works like that.
It does. But the thing is that there's the first feeling like, you fucking asshole. Like, that's the first feeling that comes up. And that's what we want to write towards. And then there's the second feeling that comes up like, I have to defend myself. They've made accusations.
Yeah.
So let me say everything to give them almost the impression that they were right. Because the more I'm defending myself, the more it's clear that there's something there that I'm not at peace with. And that's why you'll hear me often say, and I say it often when I work in any scenario, it's just not a match. You know, I'll work with a lot of hiring scenarios where people are hiring for positions.
Yeah.
And it's not like one person that's like trying to get a position as, say, a CEO in a company, like it just very well might be that all the skills and qualifications that they build up aren't a match for what's required. It doesn't say anything against their talents or their abilities. It just says there's just not a match.
Yeah.
And I see that so much in how I view the world is it's just not a match. I mean, with Ronnie and I, right? You know how I'm always like who knows who she becomes and who knows who I become and who knows if we continually grow together. So if there's not a match, then it shouldn't be a problem that we separate. And I believe that state of mind means that we stay closer because we're not trying to push away whatever comes up. Yeah.
Yeah. I can see that in your lives.
But if you say it and someone hears you, you're like, wow, what a jerk, you know, he's not holding to a relationship. He's not taking it serious. One doesn't see that if you take a relationship really seriously, it means that you deal with it the moment that things aren't going well. And you don't just say, hey, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, which is what a lot of people do. And so they step away from the pain instead of, in my life, I would go towards the vision of what I want in my life in terms of relationships.
Mm.
So that's, again, going back to the subject of this. Are you avoiding the pain? So in a relationship where things don't go well, the first thing one might do is say, hey, I just don't want to have the discussion. I'm going to avoid it or do whatever the coping mechanism is.
Yeah.
And then the other side is the seeking pleasure. It's like, oh, I know what kind of relationships I really want in my life. And then I invite the other to join me in that relationship. And it's a wholly different interaction. You don't push anyone away. When one engages with the avoiding pain, you don't see it, but you actually push the other person away.
When you avoid the pain.
Yeah. So
within a relationship.
Within a relationship. You know, you never clean the dishes up. I don't know what I have to do to get you to do the dishes. I really think that you don't care about me. You don't respect me because you know how important and you don't do it.
Yeah.
So that's sort of the modus operandi of somebody who is managing or avoiding the pain in themselves. Now, let's say the person is avoided, who hasn't avoided the pain and now is going to do the seeking. Now I have a vision of what I want for my kitchen. So the discussion is, hey, listen, I've talked to you 5 times about this, and I know it's really hard for you, but I have this vision that our kitchen, when I go to sleep, if it's not completely spotless, I can't sleep yet. So how do we make it so that you get on board just to make sure it's like that? Or what can we do to say, like, I see it's not easy for you, but this is what I'm looking for. I want the peace of mind of sleeping and having a clean kitchen. And obviously the mice and stuff that come when that isn't clean is a bigger issue as well. But I really, that's what I aspire for. And you can feel what's the difference in the energy that I project out in both of those scenarios. Mm. Is the first one or the second one?
The first one is more like a proper attack, trying to belittle the person and even manipulating them into doing what you want. But then even if they do it, it's going to be a lot of bitterness.
Resentment. Yeah. Yeah. So, and that's why I'm always thinking whenever, even when I feel a struggle in myself, is what do I really want? I don't think, what do I not want? I think, what do I really want? Because if I communicate from the what I really want, then the likelihood that I'm going to push the other person away is not very high. Because how can someone be angry with what you want? I'm not trying to change you. I'm asking you if you'll join me in doing it this way. It may very well mean that you change. But that's not because I'm trying to change you. It's because you've decided to change. And that's why I always want it framed in the direction of what I want and not what I don't want. So, yeah.
So
that circles it back to a skill. Yeah.
I thought I would start doing, like, at least do some research before we do the podcast.
Okay.
And I Googled, I watched quite a few avoid tutorials and seeking tutorials. And everyone was about avoiding mediocrity and
so fear. They were instilling fear. Avoid mediocrity because you don't want to be mediocre.
Exactly.
So that was what they were playing towards. Yeah. So, isn't that not funny?
So that's why you see this sticking here, because I made some notes, because after this morning's conversation, I'm like, we have to bring this on.
Like, how fun is it to be celebrating mediocrity? Right. Other people might have an issue with it, right? You'd say, hey, apparently this year I'm just going to be mediocre because what am I going to do? There's no business to be had. And what if you made full peace with it? This could be the best year of your life.
Are you talking to me?
Everyone. I mean, you specifically. But we have another comment, by the way, that came up from Raul a while ago. We haven't seen
Raul yet. Raul is really watching the show today.
Yeah, right? He's following us. Thinking about language. The problem starts when people think you understand the same language. Very true. Because misperception does not surface until there's a conflict or the opposite based on the wrong assumption ending in conflict. I would say language, and I'd also add to that intention. And an unwillingness to look at intention. Because what I feel is that a lot of times people are shitty communicators, but their intention is to be heard, to explain. And what I've seen is that other people, like, it goes a little bit back to our discussions around anger. If someone is really angry, the likelihood that there's something that they're touching in themselves that's really clear and pure is high. The fact that they articulate it in a way that's hard to understand isn't necessarily their problem until it becomes their problem. So in that way, I would say if people are willing to look at your intentions, then they'll actually, your words don't even need to be all that clear because people will understand what you're trying to say. And of course, they'll confirm and they'll try to do some, you know, questioning and so on. And yeah, we use words, and every word has a different meaning, and people think that the meaning they've applied to it is universal, and that's where the world goes crazy.
Yeah.
That's why I always like it when we have a person on that uses a word that might be a word that I have a clear meaning of what it means to me. Then I'll ask them, hey, what do you mean by this? Explain this to me. I think we had that when we were on the show with
Simon.
Yeah. Simon Squibb. And Simon, he would use words, and I'd use different words to have the same meaning. And you would maybe see when I was asking Simon for clarification on his meaning, he wasn't necessarily letting go of his meaning to see that my meaning could be the same.
Yeah.
So in that way, that's when I'm a little bit like, hey, how willing are you to let go of your meaning and see whatever your word is doesn't really matter, because it's as long as the meaning is clear to both of us, then we understand we're sharing that. Yeah. Yeah, that's another Raul comes back again today. He's our big text supporter. This is indeed another dimension, willingness to understand the meaning or the intended meaning. Yeah. And what I've seen, this is kind of humorous. We're going to have a show on Friday with Denise Light, which is hundreds of divorces. Out of all the show titles we've picked and concepts, this is kind of out there. But I just thought, you know, divorces, it's the worst time in people's lives, and this woman does it on a daily basis. We had to dig in. But the reason why I bring it up is because the quintessential moment when intention doesn't matter anymore is in law, is the moment where no one wants truth. All they want to do is justify their actions in a way that looks good on paper. And I see it happen so much in the U.S. because I was raised there, and you know, I hear the arguments when people are going to court, when they'll say things like, it doesn't really matter what the truth is, it matters what we can explain. And that just saddens me to no end, because at the end, what happens is we as a society, we actually lose values. We actually lose integrity, because we say that the law is more important than having good moral compass. And I've seen it happen so much that it now feels sick. If I look at the tort law in America, where people will opportunistically sue one another just because they can get money, and it happens a lot. Because if you sue somebody, it costs them more to defend than to settle, so you just spend money. You give them money because you don't want to pay for the defense fees. So that's the sad mentality you get into when people no longer want to understand. Because if I understand you, think about this for a moment. I don't have to, if I understand you, I might not get as much money from you. So I'd rather not understand you and rather prove you to be an evil person.
Yeah.
It's really sad. Yeah. So this avoiding pain and seeking pleasure, Case took it one step further when we were working together. And he said, any action can be seen in light of one of those two things. So if you do something, if you make a decision, if you act, then you can say it's either seeking pleasure or avoiding pain.
Yeah.
And he was really, he did the kind of very strict thing on it. Like he said, basically name anything you do going to the toilet, right? Avoiding pain of going to the toilet in your pants, you know, and on and on.
Wow.
Any act that you do is something that you can look in those two lights. And I found it really fascinating. We did it for a few weeks, as that was sort of his concept of the month. He had certain concepts he gravitated towards, and then we would explore them.
Wow, that's pretty
ad infinitum.
That's pretty cool. So everything you do, nice,
can be seen in those two lights. Yeah. What are you trying to avoid, or what are you trying to achieve in this? And there'll probably be a mix of both, like I said earlier, because if you're going to do fitness, the feeling or the thought, I don't want to be fat, it comes in so quickly and leaves so quickly.
I don't have that.
Yeah, I know. But that would be the thing, you know?
No, I mean fat.
You don't have fat, that's for sure. I can give you some. You can keep it.
So wanting to avoid being fat and then seeking...
Being healthy. Yeah. But it's like the first inclination is, you know, I don't want to be like that, right? Or whatever the feeling is. not necessarily for everyone, but let's just say that's the,
So let's say someone becomes aware that they want to avoid being fat. And so what kind of guidelines, like what do you suggest?
Well, let's agree. It's not a good nor bad. Again, we're just looking at, I know tons of people in my life that were really overweight and they didn't want to be fat anymore.
Yeah.
So then they started dieting and exercising. And then 4, 5, 6 months later, they said, you know what? I just like to be fit. I just want to. So their mind changed to see themselves as a person who wants to be fit. I live a fit lifestyle. This is who I am. And then you kind of laugh because that can become its own addictive pattern that can lead you into sickness and other diseases just through, abuse, just not seeing that there's another impulse you're not conscious of in yourself.
So bottom line is be aware of, like, hide an awareness around how you navigate your life.
Yeah, that's it. It's always the same. It's Carl Jung over and over again. Until you make the unconscious conscious, it'll define your life and you'll call it fate. We're not new to any of this stuff. We're just abusing we're standing on the shoulders of all the people who actually, were trying to figure it out to begin with. At a time when to say it would be like, you wouldn't necessarily even have a lot of people around you who would get it. What do you mean? Unconscious. There is just, there's just conscious, that kind of, we're talking about Freud days or dream analysis.
No, it's just sitting with how in my own life, like having this conversation with you now, I see that there is more weight on avoiding something than moving towards something.
Yeah.
But it also feels a bit like a paradox.
Okay. What's the paradox you're feeling without maybe knowing for sure?
Well, I know I don't want to feel this, so I'm going to move into it.
Yeah. Instead of saying, I don't want to feel this, so I'm going to see and let myself feel what is not wanting to be this impacting me. Mm. How does that define me in the world? Where would another sort of option be better than always going into this? That's the question. That breaks pattern. And that's the step I think you've gone over. Because when we talk, you'll say, Andy, I'm going into my pain all the time. I'm breaking patterns all the time. And I would say, you're actually just reacting to the pattern and then going into it, which is just another reaction. Although you see the reaction as something positive because you're not avoiding.
Mm. Yeah.
And I would say, fuck avoiding, fuck doing, just be present with what's going on right now. Oh, I feel stupid because I don't speak Dutch. Oh, Andy, isn't it weird? I feel stupid because I don't speak Dutch. And then we laugh for 2 minutes and then you're free of that thought in your head.
Yeah, you'll be laughing at me.
I wouldn't laugh at you. We'd laugh together.
I get that. Okay. Take it into skills.
Yeah. So when you look at what you want, it always is worded in what you don't want.
Yeah.
So what I'd love for you to heighten your consciousness around in life is that instead of me wording what I want in terms of what I don't want, I'm really going to ask myself what I want. If I say to you, what's the relationship you want?
You mean with a dog? I'm avoiding.
Exactly. That would be the avoiding.
You mean with a woman?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. What's the relationship you want with a woman?
Do we talk about it now?
I would love to because, there's a lot of women out there watching that find you attractive. So at least you're giving them a fair shot.
I'm scared I might attract them. Oh, God.
Okay, slow down. I want you to sort of be aware of something. You find this hard.
I find this hard to do on a fucking live show.
But why? Let me tell you, let's reverse it and ask me the question.
No, I want to answer the question.
Okay, but the reason why I said it was not because I wanted to put you on the spot. It was because it should be a pretty easy question to answer, and you make it hard all the time.
Well, I took a deep breath in.
Uh-huh.
And I knew exactly how I want to feel when I'm with a woman. Like, oh. I feel this.
Okay.
Spaciousness, this deep breath. I know when a woman is in her like feminine, it just fucking brings me into my full raw presence.
Uh-huh.
And I love being in my body when I'm with a woman who's in her full feminine.
Yeah.
And I really love your philosophy, and I hope to adapt that into my own relationships moving forward, which is there's nothing that we don't talk about. And there's a constant celebration of each other's differences and not trying to change the other. So if I say yes to someone, it's a yes to everything about them and not with the idea that they're going to change while being together. And when it's time, if they would come up, like being together and every day beginning anew.
Yeah. So that's it. How hard was that?
It wasn't hard. It was more that I can more feel what I want from a woman, yeah, than to actually articulate it.
Yeah,
but,
yeah, yeah.
But you kind of push my brain to go there.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, but I want you to feel it and then see how far you can articulate the feeling.
Yeah.
You know, we all process the world in our own way. It's not like one is better than the other. But what I've at least seen in your case a lot of times. Yeah, 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 exactly. And that's what I'm speaking towards. Because if you say, you know, what am I looking for? Yes, I've learned how to move my mouth and let the feeling speak. And that's something that I'm assuming that you still have time to, you know, it's like, oh, I might screw this up. Like every time, you know, we do an hour long show on a topic, you know, I said avoid and seek. I forgot why I said that. Like months ago, I wrote it and I couldn't even remember, like at 5 minutes before we went on, why did I choose this topic? So, but the thing is that I trust that I'll allow myself to feel into where it's true and then I'll speak from that. And I just trust that. You know, if I thought that I had to make stuff up, I could never spend an hour talking about these subjects. But this is the framework I created, not necessarily the best one. And when I ask you the question, what do you want from a relationship? Like, it's like, what do I want? Yeah. I want to feel like we can talk about everything, that we celebrate each other's differences, and that I just feel sexually attracted to them because they're embodying the feminine.
Mm.
Like that's what I want. And think to yourself, if you state it like that, like that's what you start attracting in your life. You declare it to the world. That's what I'm looking for.
Mm.
Mm.
Yeah.
And the same would be true for work. So what do you want from work? How do you want your work to evolve? Who's your client? Who's your perfect client?
Mm. Yeah, I'm seeing conferences where I get to travel and work for these clients a few times a year.
Okay, nope. I want you to go to the interaction with a person and tell me who is the person. Tell me what are they? What are they made of? Who are they? What do they look like? Same as the woman, but now it's the client.
Oh, it's actually one of my clients. His name is Paul Tai.
Oh, beautiful.
He's a leader who has emotional intelligence. Like he can be on a stage talking to 500 people in his company and he won't be afraid to even show tears on stage. And there's a kind of power how he captivates.
So you're telling a story. Encapsulate him. What is it about him? Say it. I want somebody who's comfortable being emotional.
Vulnerability. Being vulnerable.
It's okay being vulnerable. I want a client who...
We actually talk about everything.
Like, so we can talk about everything.
Yeah. And yet it's really professional and... It's well paid.
Well paid. So now you're articulating what we said earlier. These are the things that you want, not that you're avoiding. The better you are at articulating, the easier it is to attract them. I don't want a client that doesn't acknowledge my value. I just don't want it. So I want a client that acknowledges my value.
Yeah.
So it's really easy for me because I've declared it to the world that if someone comes to me and says, you know what, can you do this for free? Or, you know what, we're friends. We should just give me this and there's nothing you should pay for it. Like, I'm so not having a problem with saying, I'm sorry, this is the way I work. I don't push them away. I say, this is the way I work. Would you like to work this way? And then they tend to not do it because they, for instance, wouldn't want to spend money on it.
Yeah.
You know, some would even get offended by it, for instance, right?
Oh, I did say no to a project which had little pay, but for other photographers, it might be pretty good.
Yeah.
So I just passed it on.
Yeah.
I just see the time I would put to create what they wanted. It doesn't justify what they wanted to.
Yeah, but I want you to go into your body now.
Yeah.
And speak from it what I want. I want my value to be recognized.
I want my value to be recognized.
And just feel how comfortable that is. Feel how easy decisions become when you do that. I take it further. So I won't work unless my value is recognized. Assuming that it's that kind of relationship.
Yeah,
of course.
I won't work unless my value is recognized.
Yeah, it's so simple. So now you see how quickly I make decisions where I just say, oh, I already know I'm just going to do it or not do it. You ask me a question, you're like, how can you make that decision so quickly? It's because I know what I want so clearly that I already see what doesn't fit into what I want. And the want, the desire is such a clear picture in my head that everything kind of fills in to support that want.
Yeah. And where I am right now, because of COVID, right?
Yeah.
There's always this place, oh, should I say yes to this? Can I afford to say no to this?
Yeah.
And that's where I might get some stuckness. But yeah, I did say no.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, but there's always context. So we always... No matter what we do, we always have context. Yeah. Context being, hey, at this time I'm going to take the project, but I would usually name it when I would do it and say, listen, this is way below, but given COVID, I'm not in a financial position to negotiate. So I'm happy to do it for that price now. But in the future, I won't be able to agree to the same. Like that's, again, embracing your vision without sacrificing it. And so what I'm trying to get to you is to feel what it feels like to have such a clear vision of what you want that actually you attract things to that vision instead of trying to manage against the negative. It's a wholly different way of experiencing the world.
I'm going to have to watch this podcast a few times.
Okay. Maybe. Maybe it won't make any sense if you watch it again.
I think it will.
Yeah. And it goes into... visioning, living your full purpose. Like everyone sells hundreds and hundreds of courses and programs to help people define their vision, right?
Yeah.
But the funny thing is if the person is predominantly defined by avoiding pain and then they have a vision, the vision doesn't help them much. Because in the vision, everything, they need that person to become more of a coach to hold their hand every step because they need the emotional support. So people that are driven, that have clear vision, have clear focus, you know, they might need an advisor to say, hey, help me make some decisions based on things I haven't done yet. But people who live in constant fear, they'll need a coach because the coach is there to hold their hand to make sure they get up in the morning, they do the obvious things that anyone else would do on their own, but they need somebody else to help them do it because they get overwhelmed. And they're managing against the negative as opposed to getting excited and following the positive. Yeah.
Can I hire you?
Yeah. I'd be too expensive, Bambos.
Shit.
But we can have our daily session, you know. You can come in the morning and we'll talk like we do. I actually see that we could create a business together, but I never create any opportunities for you because you're always like, no, Andy, it has to be in photography. And I think about it sometimes. I think, are there things in photography where I feel like there's a market that hasn't or something that hasn't been done yet? And every time it's like maybe this or that, but it's never big enough to warrant like a lot of effort and energy. So when you said, Andy, I just want to make a lot of money and I don't care how we do it as long as it doesn't destroy the planet and it's not bad to animals, then maybe we'll figure out something totally different. And you say, it doesn't need to be photography. It could also be, that would be welcome, but it doesn't need to be. Thank you for joining us, everyone. We're now at an hour. we've made it to the hour mark.
Yeah.
Is there anything that would make you so sad that maybe we get a tear out of you before we end this show?
Well, I might say that I'm even cheating because you've poked me a few times in the last few weeks where I immediately reacted to defending myself. And you've made me aware, like, hey, Bumbo, I'm being your mirror here. Like, it's free advice. Do you want to see or do you just want to keep living blindly? And it's like shaking, it has been shaking me up a bit because my eye is getting like, ooh, big fucking thank you that you even take the time to do that.
Yeah, well, I see you much, much more at peace with where you are. So even if you're suffering, you can still be at peace with suffering. That's the paradox. And for people who've been watching the show, there have been times when Bambos has not been at peace. And that's meant that I've spoken a lot of those shows. And not that I also can't speak, but their dialogue is really nice sometimes. So.
That's the point of us sitting together, right?
Yeah. And these one day a week shows are actually focused on topics we would have probably spoken about. And we've just invited others to come in, right? The next 4 days are interviews.
On a
Wonderful Chaos.
It's a wonderful chaos.